بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. The verse of the Quran recited before you through the tawfiq and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first verse in Suratul Hujurat. Suratul Hujurat is in the 26th juz of the Quran, and the complete Suratul Hujurat is a Madaniya surah. All the verses of the Quran in Suratul Hujurat were revealed in Madinatul Munawwara after the Hijrah. Hujurat, the reason why the surah has been named Hujurat is because one of the verses in the Quran has the word Hujurat inside it. Hence the reason why إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Hence the reason why the surah is named Surah Al-Hujurat. The meaning of Hujurat is the plural of Hujra. Hujra means room or a house. Hujurat means many rooms, many houses. So in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the Azwaji Mutahharat, resided in their own residences called the Hujra, in their own homes. And as we know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had more than one wife in those days, and each of the Azwaj Mutahharat was given their own place of stay. And Ibn Sa'd quotes from Atta Khurasani rahmatullahi alayhi that the homes initially were made of the trunks and the branches of the date palm tree. He describes further that the entrance, the beginning of the home of these Hujurat, were no bigger than 15-20 meters. So the initial entrance part, the sahan, the courtyard of the Hujra, was about 6 arms length, approximately 6 meters or slightly less. So that would be the courtyard area, which would be open without any roof. And then you've got the main quarter, which is one room, and the maximum length it would be is about 10 arm lengths, which is approximately 10 meters or less than 10 meters. And in that Hujra, they would be having their seating area, the kitchen area, the sleeping area, everything in that one particular area. There is a hadith in Ibn Majah, if I can remember correctly, Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wake up at night for tahajjud, so she used to be asleep, and when he used to go into sajda, he used to nudge her feet. she used to move her feet and used to go in sajda. After he would get up from sajda, then she would stretch her feet again. Yani imagine how much space there was in the hujras. And within that, everything, the whole living used to take place. This is an example for us, or a lesson for us, that alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, we have homes in which there are 2, 3, 4 bedrooms, some bigger as well, you know, 1 or 2 lounges, separate kitchen, separate bathroom, separate, you know, facilities. But even then we don't make shukr. Even then we are complaining for space. Nowadays, before in those times, we used to say to the women that you're complaining all the while, there's not enough space in the house, not enough space in the house. But now as men are the same as well. We are also looking for bigger places. And largely this is because we are so engrossed in watching social media. Every now and again you see a post of somebody in Dubai making big money and showing off. Somebody somewhere else in the world making big money and showing off, and big homes and big cars and flashy cars, and earn quick money. There's no such thing as earning quick money. Most of them are all just scams. There are some genuine people. But what I'm trying to say is that this is what sucks us into that mind frame of wanting more. Like I was telling the students just today as well, that our needs are this much, but our desires are this much. Hence the reason why we are never content. Because our desires are more than our needs. And if we continue like that, we will never be able to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These circumstances of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, living in those conditions, imagine he is the leader of that time, he is the Shahanshah of that time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived a life like that out of choice. It wasn't out of majburi, out of no choice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith it is mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "O Nabi of Allah, Allah has asked me to ask you that if you want, I can turn Mount Uhud into gold for you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, I want that one day I eat and make shukr and be grateful to Allah, and the next day I make sabr and ask Allah." So this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's choice to live in those conditions. As an example, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived lavishly, everybody would be chasing to live lavishly, that this is the sunnah. When it comes to those sort of sunnahs, we are very quick in picking up, oh, this is sunnah. So we need to make shukr. We should think about the way, the condition Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived. At times there used to be days and days that went by where the cooker would not go on inside the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There would be barely anything. For us, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, 24 hours a day, anytime you open the pantry, anytime you open the fridge, food is there for us. Rather, we are so spoiled nowadays that we have to think 1,001 times at what takeaway should I have this week, or which restaurant shall I go to this week. Restaurants and takeaways at one time were a novelty. Nowadays they become so common that we say that we are even tired of it now. We'd rather have home food. So in the time of the Umayyad Caliphate, Walid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, he was the Khalifa for 10 years at that time, from 86 Hijri to 96 Hijri. He then incorporated all the Hujras into Masjid al-Nabawi. This is why we only see the Hujra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now. And inside the Hujra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've got Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Next to him, you've got Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then next to him, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was also resting there. Was an amazing incident that happened. When Umar radiallahu anhu was assassinated, well, he was stabbed in the back whilst leading Salah. So that injury led towards Umar ibn Al-Aw's death. Umar ibn Al-Aw, naturally, as we all know, he was also a very close companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn Al-Aw desired that he wants to rest next to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, next to Abu Bakr Siddiq, his companion and friend also. So Umar radiallahu anhu summoned his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that go to Aisha radiallahu anha and ask her that I am making this request. Is it possible that I can be buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Aisha radiallahu anhu desired herself much, and she was expecting that she will be buried there with her father and with her husband. But look, even how much hamdardi and how much care they had for each other in those days. That Aisha radiallahu anha said that Umar is not such a person that when he makes a request like this, it should be rejected. She gave up her own desire to be buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and her beloved father Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and she gave this permission for Umar radiallahu anhu to be buried next to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But now look how careful, when we talk about mu'ashirat and mu'amilat, one thing which I emphasize about a lot is taking others into consideration at all times. So Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went back to his father, and Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting in anticipation for an answer. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said to his father that Aisha radiallahu anhu has accepted. And he made dua to Allah and thanked Allah and so on. But Umar radiallahu anhu said to his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that, listen, after I die, before I am buried, ask Aisha radiallahu anha again. It should not be that she has agreed with this on the basis out of haya, right, and sharma sharmi, that how can I say no? Yani she's saying yes out of feeling obligated, because it's Umar radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen. So before I am buried, ask again once more to be sure that she is 100%. So just before he was being buried, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went to Aisha radiallahu anha again and asked, right, that my father has requested to ask again. At that time, Aisha radiallahu anha said that Umar is not such a person that whilst he is alive, he should be pleased, and when he is passed away, he should not be pleased. What a big sacrifice that she gave. She gave her place of rest, gave up her place of rest for Amirul Mu'minin Umar radiallahu anhu. These are the type of values that we should adopt in our lives as well, my friends. So, going to the verse of the Quran, that was a brief introduction on the Hujurat. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tuqaddimu bayna yadi Allahi wa rasulihi, wattaqu Allah, inna Allah samiyun alim. In the Quran, the whole of Surah Al-Hujurat, all the verses of the Quran in here are revealed due to some circumstances. Yeah. They are called sababul nuzul. Sababun nuzul, circumstance of revelation. We must remember that the Sahaba kiram, Ridwana ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they were made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to commit some mistakes. And as a result of this would be a lesson for the ummah right until the day of Qiyamah. So we mustn't think that how can a sahabi make such a mistake. No. Kullu sahabatun adulun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all the sahaba are just. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you want to be guided, then the sahaba are my guiding stars. So they were made to make mistakes by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a taqwini point of view. So in this particular verse of the Quran, there is a tribe called Banu Tamim. Banu Tamim was a very affluent tribe of the Arabian Peninsula in the north part, and very strong, very good with poetry, very eloquent, mashallah. And this tribe had accepted Islam, and a delegation from the Banu Tamim tribe came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to discuss matters on now who's going to be leading the tribe. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the process of deciding. He was thinking that who should we put as a leader for this particular tribe. And whilst Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was thinking, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he suggested to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Kaka ibn Ma'bad should be appointed as a leader for the tribe. Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, and Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, it should be Akra ibn Habis. Now Nabi sallallahu, just now imagine this situation. Nabi sallallahu is still thinking, okay, and now a dialogue has started between Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying Kaka ibn Ma'bad. Umar radiallahu anhu is saying Akra ibn Habis. Whilst this dialogue was taking place between them and the difference of opinion, it got a bit heated up between them. And the voices started to raise also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulihi. Do not proceed in any matters before Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in place. Yani, we need to understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking about a matter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not even asked anyone yet. Before even being asked or approached about any matter, Nabi sallallahu Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu immediately, or Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave his suggestion. Then Umar radiallahu anhu gave his suggestion. Both were out of place in that situation. And over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَا تُقَدِّمُ بَيْنِ يَدِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that do not proceed in matters, right, before Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over here, Allah is not mentioning this particular incident, although the verse has been revealed for this particular incident. But the verse has been revealed in such a way, don't forget, the language of the Quran is very eloquent. The verse of the Quran pertains to any action regarding Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just this particular incident. That even when you are walking, la tuqaddimu bayna yaday, don't proceed before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are eating together on a dasturkan, don't proceed before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are having some sort of discussion, don't proceed before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this we learn, my friends, that when it comes to matters of discussion, when there is an amir in the jamaat, or when there is a leader, whether it's at home, the father is the leader. In a business, the owner is the leader. Yeah? In jamaat, the amir is the leader. So until the leader, the amir, does not actually make a statement or say something about a certain matter, everybody else should wait until the leader has spoken. And if the leader asks us for our opinion, then we should give our opinion. This is one of the usul of mashwara. Very important usul, my friends. And I mention this all the while to people, to youngsters, elders. And I remember when I went to South Africa last, and I was sitting with my ustad and some students were sitting there, and I told them exactly this. I said, look, you have two options in life. Either you're a leader or you're a follower. If you are a leader, go out and do something. Make a change, make a difference. But if you don't have leadership qualities, that means you are a follower. So whether you are working for somebody as an employee, or whether you are a volunteer somewhere working, no matter what the situation, if you are a follower, you are under somebody. You have somebody above you. Now when you have somebody above you, that means you have a right of opinion if asked, but not decision. Very important usul and mashura, my friends. And this is one of the reasons why we have that many organizations, institutions, businesses have problems between brothers or between people that are in the organization, because everybody wants to give their opinion and everybody wants that their opinion should be taken into consideration. So what do the ulama say? Number one, nobody needs to ask you for your opinion. You do as you're told. Khalas, you're working, right? Or you're following. And if they do ask you for your opinion, and your opinion is not taken into consideration, and whatever decision has been taken, if the matter did not go accordingly, it went pear-shaped, for example. It went wrong. One should not think that, you see, had they listened to me, it wouldn't have happened like this. No. One should think that, had they listened to me, it would have been even worse than this. Look how beautiful our Sharia is. Most of the time, it's about changing the way we think, changing our psychology. As soon as, the moment we can change our thinking and turn the situation around, it's very easy. That ego goes away. But most of the time, because we have an ego issue, then why didn't they listen to me? You see, I told them. That's always the case, isn't it? Then things go pear-shaped. So, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his tafsir of Ma'riful Quran, has mentioned that although this particular verse of the Quran is pertaining to the incident at that time and is general in the view of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but this also pertains to the ulama and the mashaykh. Why? Because the ulama in the hadith, the innamal ulama warathatul anbiya, that the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. Ulama are the inheritors of the prophets, inheritors of Quran, inheritors of hadith, inheritors of tafsir, inheritors of fiqh. So when it comes to matters with ulama and mashaykh also, who are the leaders of the community, the a'imma, when it comes to matters with them also, the same rule applies. That if you are sitting in a mashwara, wait for them to speak first. Don't start giving your opinions without being asked. If they are walking, walk behind them. If you are called for eating together, wait until they start. Adab, respect for the ulama. Respect for the a'imma. And this is from the Quran. And this is what Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah has deduced from the Quran. So one is specific to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't forget, the Quran is here until the day of Qiyamah. The Quran is not here just to teach us what took place at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran is here to teach us what took place at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how it affects our life in today's age until the day of Qiyamah. So these verses apply to the ulama also, how the awam, general people, should deal with the ulama also. So, لَا تُقَدِّمُ بَيْنِ يَدِي اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Do not proceed in matters before Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This also pertains to general matters in our lives, my friends. Generally, we say that we want everything according to Sharia. Alhamdulillah. Everything according to Sharia. But when we look at the reality in life, when there is a problem, then what happens to Sharia? Let's take a typical example between a husband and wife. If there is a breakup, she is effing and blaming him and he is effing and blaming her. And then the matter goes to court. They don't want to, now, oh, I don't know about Sharia. Inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulates inheritance very clearly in the Quran as to how the shares should be distributed. But now when it comes to matters of inheritance, I'm not interested in Sharia anymore. I want my share, whatever is, or it all belongs to me. I'm not going to give anything to anybody. This happens, this is a reality, my friends. And I always say that, look, when things are okay, alhamdulillah. But the real test is when things go pear-shaped. That's the real test. Like, for example, the woman, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking in the graveyard with some sahaba, and there was a woman crying and wailing at a grave. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to her, sabr, sabr, sabr. And she lashed out at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That how do you know, what do you know what I'm going through? I am the one that has suffered a loss. She spoke nastily to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba were about to approach, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just leave it, leave it. After a little while, she realized who this person was, that it was the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she went and apologized. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to her, As-sabru in the sadwatil ula. That sabr is practiced at his first instance. At his first instance. That's the real test. That when a problem arises, how do we behave? So regarding anything in our lives, we should see that if we come across a situation, whether good or bad, what is Allah's and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's command in this regard? Everything in our lives, whether it's wife, children, parents, inheritance, business, anything. Okay? And when things go pear-shaped, Allah protect us from anything going from pear-shaped. But if things do go pear-shaped, right, then sit back, be calm, right? Think about it. Think about it intelligently. Think about it intelligently. Use our intelligence, not our emotions. Because when a person uses their emotions, shaitan takes the better of us by making us angry and frustrated. But if we use our intelligence, then shaitan moves away. Then we are using our mind calmly in trying to resolve the situation. Wattaqullah and fear Allah. Look, Allah Ta'ala says fear Allah in these matters. Taqwa, meaning of taqwa is to refrain from all those things that Allah has told us to refrain from and do all those things that Allah will be pleased with. In a nutshell, taqwa means to be conscious of Allah at all times. To be conscious of Allah at all times. When a person is conscious of Allah at all times, then it is very less chances that the person will commit a sin or make a mistake. And more chance of a person doing good rather than making mistakes. So taqwa. Taqwa is the essence of our practical actions, my friends. How do we know whether we have taqwa or not? Simple example, right? That we've got a chance of committing a sin, but we refrain from it. That means that we have taqwa. Why? Because we are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person has got a chance of committing a sin, they commit the sin. That means the person does not have recognition. He or she is not conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Easy way to find out whether we have taqwa or not. So fear Allah. Inna Allah Samiyun Alim. Verily Allah is all hearing and all knowing. Allah hears everything that we do, and in this situation as well, Allah Ta'ala, He has heard the conversation between Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and He's all knowing, He's knowledgeable of what's happening. So we also, my friends, any issues that we have or anything that we have, number one is that any matters that we need to decide upon, whoever the leader is of that particular matter, we should wait for them. Okay. Number two is honor and respect the ulama and the mashayikh in the same regard. And number three is in all our matters in our lives, okay, refer it to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Refer it to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for these matters like this, refer to the ulama. The ulama will be able to guide us, inshallah ta'ala. The ulama will be able to guide us, inshallah ta'ala, on how to deal with matters. And fear Allah in every matter. Fear Allah in every matter. Fear Allah in every matter. Verily Allah is all hearing and all what you call it knowing. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Subhanallah rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Ya Allah, please forgive us our sins, forgive us our major sins, forgive us our minor sins, Forgive us those sins that we have done in the lightness of the day. Forgive us those sins that we have done in the darkness of the night. Forgive us those sins that we have done intentionally. Forgive those sins that we have done unintentionally. Ya Ghafur Rahim, Ya Allah. We are gathered here to try to understand your Quran, your words, your beautiful words. Ya Allah, give us a tawfiq to understand them correctly and give us a tawfiq to implement your teachings of the Quran and your advices. Ya Ghafur Rahim, in the light of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Ghafur Rahim, Ya Allah, attach us to the Quran, open our hearts to understanding the Quran, and open our bodies to implement the Quran. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhanaka rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bi rahmatika ya rahmanir rahim. It is the night of Jummah now. Tomorrow is the day of Jummah. Brothers are requested to engage in as much salawat and darood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as possible until Maghrib tomorrow, inshallah. The mashayikh say that we should try to read darood at least 1,000 times on the day of Jummah, inshallah. So all requests, make an effort. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum.